The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Rebecca Meehan is with me in studio, as is Danielle Cleary, and they've made their way here from outside Leinster House because they're spending 24 hours there. It's a sleep out in front of the Houses of Parliament, the corridors of power, because they are demanding school places for their children and other children indeed in this country. And today marks World Autism Day, which is why the day has been chosen. Rebecca and Danielle, you're very welcome to studio. Thanks a million for coming in to us.
Thanks for having us.
So Danielle, if I can start with you, I kind of mentioned the headline, I guess, as it were, as to why you're there. But in more detail, what brings you to Leinster House?
Basically, we are just looking for equality in education for all of our children with additional needs. They all need appropriate school places. And I think that's the major word here, is appropriate. These places need to be available for these children, and they need to be appropriate places for these children.
So tell me a little bit about the situation with Theo then.
So my little boy is 4 years of age. We're in Waterford, and currently I've had to accept an extra preschool year for my son because there was no junior infant space available for him in any schools in Waterford.
So he should be going in September into junior infants, but he'd be staying in preschool for an extra year.
Yes.
And what extra supports are needed for Theo in a mainstream school place?
To be honest, as his diagnosis, a mainstream school place is not an adequate or appropriate place for him. So he needs to be in a special school, a special class. He needs to be in a classroom that has less students. He's not very good when it comes to noise and too many people around him. Right now, he's actually in a mainstream preschool, which is, don't get me wrong, they've been amazing, but it's not suitable for his needs. But I had no choice but to send him there because I couldn't get anywhere else.
And is the situation in your part of the country, in Waterford, that those schools, that they do exist, but they're oversubscribed? Is that it?
Absolutely. And there's waiting lists, and there's, you know, it's a massive, massive, massive issue in Waterford.
Mm.
That, you know, there's so many children looking for spaces. They're actually in inappropriate places at the minute. There's many children in mainstream classrooms that shouldn't be there, and they need to have these, you know, this extra help, but they're not getting it.
And I know you don't want to settle for any less than Theo deserves, the same as any parent and any mm-hmm. child in the state. How would he get on in a mainstream class with support? Is it a complete no-go? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Rebecca, you're there for the same reason as others as well, as Danielle lays out. It's because you want your children to be treated in the way they deserve to be treated, like any of us as parents. So what's the situation then with Jay?
So Jay is 5. He's a pre-verbal autistic little boy. He's the most amazing little boy, and he requires a special school for September. So in Dungarvan, which is where I'm from, there's only one special school, and there was a lottery system for spaces. There was only 8 places. There were 73 applicants, and now currently there's 19 children like my son included, that are locked out of education for September 2025. We have nowhere to go. There is nowhere else that is possibly acceptable for my son. He definitely would not thrive in any other environment. I mean, I get the word a lot that says manage. I hate the word manage, because managing is just not acceptable. My son requires a life skill based environment for his education, and life skills is exactly what he needs. So I'm not going to settle for any less, because he deserves that.
And like Daniela, you face them with the prospect of another year out of school when he should be in it.
I'm not even faced with that. He's in an early intervention preschool at the moment. It's an autism class specifically.
Yeah.
So my son actually will be at the kitchen table in September if I don't get him into St.
He's
John's.
He's nowhere to go in September.
Nowhere to go. We're 10 weeks into a campaign in Dungarvan to increase capacity at St. John's Special School. I've met with Helen McEntee only last week. I'm on, this is probably my 5th protest, and it rages on. We have a protest in Waterford again on Saturday. I mean, the parents are just constantly out in the streets to try and fight for our children.
And how many kids in your part of the world, down around Dungarvan and West Waterford, are dealing with the situation that yourself and Jay are dealing with?
Well, there's 19 for the special school alone, but outside of that, there's also children who are dealing with being, as Danielle said, in inappropriate school places in a mainstream environment. Because I don't know if anyone knows this, but a special needs assistant actually is not sanctioned for your child, even if they give a report for September of the year they start. So it's horrific, because you have parents that are forced into accepting inappropriate spaces, but then their child also isn't supported in these environments either.
And Danielle, you mentioned that at the moment, while you're waiting on a place to become available, so you're going to stay in preschool, as it were, or Thea's going to stay in preschool for an extra year. Mm-hmm. But that's a mainstream preschool. How is he getting on in that with all the kind of the chaos and the cacophony that comes in most preschools?
Right now, where he is, they've put in AIM support for him, which is amazing. And the school have done absolutely everything they can for him. He spends most of his day outside. He likes to be outside, being in the classroom environment. It doesn't suit him well. So being outside is probably that's his safe space.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not going to be able to continue, I can put it that way.
And is there a commitment given to ye in these situations like this that, listen, this is, and I'm not excusing you for a moment, but is mm-hmm. the commitment, listen, this is 1 year, he'll start a year late. Do you go to the top of the waiting list, as it were, for the following year?
Absolutely not.
So you could be looking at a few years of this.
I could be still sitting here next year with no place for my child. And next year, I will be in the same place as Rebecca, where my child will be sitting at the kitchen table, because there'll be nowhere else for him to go if I don't get him into a junior infant space. He won't be able to do another year in preschool. His preschool years will be over. So there's no other option after this year. My child has to be guaranteed a space in junior infants, in a school that's appropriate for him and in a class that's appropriate for him.
Rebecca, will he be able to deal with Jay at home at the kitchen table? I mean, can you do that? Are you both working? Can you take time off?
I've given up my whole life and my career for my son. I've done an autism master's. I've done everything to identify his needs. I've even gone into all these schools in a placement setting so that I can identify what my child needs. And I'm going to put it this way. My child will not be at the kitchen table in September. He will be inside St. John's Special School. Come hell or high water, I am completely determined, along with all of the 200 plus parents down outside the door right now, because at the end of the day, every single one of us is tired. We have had to move heaven and earth to even be here today to be able to fight for our children because of their needs and because they need us all of the time around. This is a necessity.
And what was the response when you met Helen McEntee?
Helen McEntee is an amazing woman and she is absolutely committed to helping our children. I suppose it comes down to you have schools, you have patrons, you have boards of management, you have the Department of Education and sanctioning of these classes, and then we have funding, and then we have wait times for modulars, etc. But at the end of the day, this is a crisis. During COVID, they were able to close down the whole country over 24 hours. This is a national crisis at this point, and I don't think it's been taken as seriously as it should be. And maybe today, with the Equality and Education Committee down there and with the group, that maybe finally it actually will be. Because, I mean, our children, they're worth more than this. I can't believe it. Our children are the most fantastic individuals. They have so much to give and they have so much potential. Mm. And it is absolutely being stifled in this country. And I don't know, is it because they don't think our children are worth education or are worth whatever, but they have absolutely so much to provide in the community.
And when you say that, you know, you can't believe you're faced with this situation, you can't believe the children are treated like this, can you remember when somebody first flagged this to you? You know, when maybe Jay got a diagnosis, when you realised it was an issue and someone said, you know what, Rebecca, you want to start thinking about school because you probably don't know this. And see, most people don't. If you don't have a child is in this situation, absolutely, you just go to the local national school, you don't think about it.
The funny thing is, when Jay was 11 months old, I was working from home because it was during COVID, and I remember taking a sabbatical for a year to tell my husband I needed to figure out what was going on with my son. I went on from there and I fought 153 calls to the CDNT to get him into a specialist early intervention school, and he got in there for 10 months, and then I fought to get him a diagnosis, of which I was told he can't go into an autism preschool specialist one until he's 3, even though a child of for a neurotypical child, they can go into a preschool when they're 2 years and 8 months. So they actually are penalising our children for having a diagnosis and a parent being proactive. So I've done, that's why I'm very confident in this. I've made every single step possible for my child to thrive in this life, and I am not willing to accept anything less than the best for him.
Listen, and your determination, I mean, is to be lauded. But at the same time, it just beggars belief you have to make 153 phone calls to get your kid into school. Like I say, the rest of us, we don't even think about it. You just go to the local school.
I've got 2 older neurotypical children and I never had to think about it. I just decided where they were going to go and rang them up and sent in the admissions. But at this point, I mean, I'm willing to fight for anything that's worth it for my child. But it is despicable in this country. Our children are treated as second class citizens. And that is the point.
Danielle, you'd agree?
I would. I had to go private for my child's diagnosis. His files were then lost by CDNT and primary care. He slipped through the net. He should have been receiving services 2 years ago. He got absolutely nothing. He has still got nothing. So it's a constant battle for us as parents. You're like that. I left my job at 10 years because there was no one there to care for my son, only me. Yeah. And your job will only put up with so much of taking time off. You're trying to go to all of these therapies. You're trying to do all of these things for your children. And at the same time, you're getting stonewalled everywhere you look. It's not good enough. And my child is worth more than being stonewalled every single day. He deserves everything and more. And there's no one going to tell me he doesn't.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to speak to so many people in your situation now through the years, or situations like yours. And I think what they often find, and this is the question I guess I'm asking you, is what they find most dispiriting is when they know there's an issue or they get a diagnosis or there's the early signs of something problematic, you know, people are realistic. They know, listen, this is going to be a degree of difficulty and this is going to upend our lives. And mm-hmm. listen, it's our kid. We love him or her. We're on board. We'll do it. What they're not expecting, and I think what really crushes their spirit sometimes, is how little help there is. Or if you could get a place after 153 calls, why couldn't you get the place after one call? If the place was there, just give it to you after one call. Not, oh God, she's pestering us so much, we may as well give her a place.
And for the example in St.
John's. It's actually disgraceful.
Yeah, and in St. John's Special School, the capacity has been at capacity there for over 3 years. So why haven't the school or why haven't the Department of Education known that when they've been given the numbers? When I as a civilian could go to them in 2022 when my child was 1.5 years old and tell them, you're going to have to increase the capacity here in the special schools. I'm coming along in 2025, but it's like the louder you shout, which I think is ridiculous. My child can't speak, but my God, I will speak for him.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They do. You have to shout loud and bang the drum and hammer the table and do all of those things.
We have to be their voices. You shouldn't. And that's the thing. There's no one else going to shout for my son, only me, and I'll shout the loudest.
Well, do plenty of shouting out on the dog later. So we wish you luck. Rebecca Meehan and Danielle Cleary, they're going to be down there right throughout the night demanding that action happens in terms of school places. And I know they talked about Waterford and Dungarvan and what have you, but I mean, this is a situation that parents up and down the country are dealing with.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.